This video podcast has been recorded across multiple lands of Australia, across the lands of the Wurundjeri, Woiwurrung, Wurundjeri and Woiwurrung people. We would like to pay our respects to elders past and present. We would also like to pay our respect to any Indigenous or First Nations people listening or watching today. This always was and always will be Aboriginal land.
Thank you very much, Hester. You always say that so beautifully. Let's do a quick check-in with each other and how our weeks have been, because we say this almost every week, I think, like footy's just crazy. And as we get to the pointy end of the season, it's not slowing down.
It's pretty wild. I'm definitely missing my husband being away this week. How are you doing?
We're lucky our family unit is still together. So, it's been okay. Things are just moving so quickly from last week, talking about Adelaide and Port Adelaide being shipped over to Melbourne. Now they're back home. The Giants and the Sydney families are back down in Melbourne, reunited, which was beautiful. I saw a few things come out on social media from both of those clubs, which are absolutely gorgeous, and gives me all the feels that they're reunited and together again with their families. So
there's been some pretty big news in football lately. I mean, a lot of massive news out of a lot of different clubs. Lots of coaching stuff going on at Hawthorn. And there's been the news just in the last 48 hours about Taylor Walker being sanctioned for racist comments that he made at an SANFL game. AFL have released that he will be made to pay a $20,000 fine to a First Nations charity and will be undertaking some cultural sensitivity training and suspended for 6 weeks. Anything you want to say about it, Marty?
There was so much speculation once it came out in the media, and silence from the AFL and from the Adelaide Football Club. I think it could have been really easily for them to put out a statement saying, something so basic, a player is being investigated, and that's all we have to say on the matter currently. It kind of doesn't feel like it's been well handled from my perspective. And I think, having Shelley Ware on last week talking about Rule 35 and the Racial Vilification Act, or the rules, that there wasn't actually anything really substantial that the AFL could draw back to in this instance. So I think she put a tweet up about how it's going to have to be reviewed. It's really interesting, because we often see statements from the AFL and clubs and things that do condemn racial vilification when these kinds of things happen, but the silence on it when it came to someone internally, a player, was a little bit contradictory to their usual message.
Yeah, it was, wasn't it? I think too, we sort of seem to be in this bizarre scenario now where the sanction for an AFL player at an AFL club, I think we really put our hands up to say that we're leaders in this space, seems to be a less severe punishment than fans have received for similar comments. So I think that's concerning to me. I think obviously what he's done is unacceptable, and as a leader, not only at that club, but in the way that we know sports can have a big impact on society, that's obviously culturally something that we really need to look at.
Yeah, what you're talking about here, Hester, is members who've been banned for life, or their memberships revoked, or they've been banned for 2-year periods, really, really heavy sanctions.
I think this must be a very upsetting and also traumatizing news to come out for a lot of football players, staff, the wider community and fans as well, who are impacted by racism as well. So, I'm so sorry that people have been put in this position to be re-traumatized, who have and who do experience racism, and there's really no place for it.
Exactly as AFL said, there is no place for racism in our game. So
In other news, Marty, who are we talking to today?
Today we are talking to Felicity Harley. I'm really excited. Obviously, we supported an article that she was doing with Jessica Halloran a few weeks ago that you might have seen. We can probably pop a link up to it. And it just talked about, I guess, women being part of conversations around football, the family dynamics, and things that potentially had been forgotten when players are being shipped up all around the country, which they're still doing.
Felicity Harley is a journalist, an author, a podcast host, and also a regular on Sunrise on Seven. She's very qualified to talk to us today, and she's also the wife of Swans CEO Tom Harley.
But Felicity, thank you very much for joining us. It's been a couple of weeks trying to get you on, but a couple of very busy weeks for you. So thank you very much for your time.
Oh, thank you for having me. I'm excited to speak to you both.
Can you get us up to scratch with where you are and where you've been for the last 2 weeks?
Yeah, so at the moment, I'm sitting in a hotel room in the Como, which is actually really lovely. And I do have to give a shout out to the AFL, because since that article came out, I feel like that was a real, dare I say, tipping point or turning point where they listened to our voices and they actually did something about it. So I have actually been really impressed with the way Gil especially has handled everything and been on every call and has really been vocal in supporting us as wives and girlfriends of players and staff, support staff. And so I do actually owe them a big applause in that way. We arrived last night from Brisbane. So so just to backtrack, maybe we should go back to that article. So based on what you all went through last year, and I watched from the sidelines, I didn't go into quarantine, you know, stayed at home. And I just felt that Sydney had been, this season went on the road for 3 weeks. I had been on the road for 3 weeks, and I just felt like there was no conversation around, but what about all the families at home? And I felt there were so many women out there who not only looking after kids, but also had their own careers. And it literally, when the Swans left, GWS left, Tom literally walked in the door and said, oh, I'm going to Melbourne in an hour. And I'm like, what? Mm. And they literally left within an hour and just left everything. And there was just no consideration given to what we might have had on in our lives, or what the family might have had on, or, you know, that. And I suppose that was just a real poignant point for me, where I just thought, you know what, I've had enough of this. And I'm sure many other wives and girlfriends, and look, I come from this, whereas I appreciate that we're in a really privileged position. We've still got, you know, our partners still have work and we still have an income, and I appreciate all that. And I suppose that's not lost on me, so I don't want to feel like I'm, you know, bemoaning this. But I think there's just a point, you know, for all the, and it's not just this industry, it's many other industries. And I think since that article came out, which I'll briefly discuss in a minute, many other women have reached out and said, you know what, that happens in media, that happens in finance, that happens in, so we're not alone in this, in the AFL world.
Definitely relate to that. And it's not whether it's a thanks or actually just an acknowledgement that your husband in this case is leaving in an hour, and we acknowledge that this could be hard for you and your family. Realistically, we've seen a few players this year as well that have been integral to that team, really, you know, high profile players not playing and skipping games or missing weeks, and like the season continues, that team still puts 22 out on the field. It might not be their first 22 that they would prefer to have, but the game goes on, the season has continued, and it's nearly finished. So,
but that's a good point, because, and maybe that's part of the conversation I want to start, is that it's always footy comes first. Like, it was lovely when we flew down last night and then they were all just reunited, and yeah, aww. It was really nice. But yes, now we're in Melbourne, although it's nice to be in Melbourne, you know, nice change. And I'm being locked down in Sydney anyway, so it's nice that we can.
Felicity, you've spoken a little bit about player partners being with you. Are there many staff partners with you as well?
Yes, there is. Yeah. I think my poor husband, because I'm quite a strong feminist in some ways, gets, he's like, can you stop being on my back about that? So yes, all the partners, male and female, are here. We've got, I'm sure they won't mind me mentioning, but Hayley Willis, who does the social media, and Fiona Faulkner. She used to be the host on The Biggest Losers here with their 5 month old. And so lots of part, which is actually nice. Like, it's nice meeting all the other partners of the footy club, you know, the footy club.
Yeah.
When we saw the message come through from Jessica about the article you spoke about earlier, Felicity, and I think we really appreciated that you were part of that call as the partner of a member of staff as opposed to a player. We've heard a lot about a lot. We've heard more from the partners of players than we have from the partners of staff, I think, historically and at the moment. But I think it's really important for everyone to see that those people are on the same team.
You know, the people behind the scenes actually often spend, having obviously been married to a player and a staff, they actually spend more time working, often like the social media side, the CEO obviously, but you know,
it's kind of busy.
So I think it's good for the, you know, the players to see, okay, what really goes on, you know, what keeps the club alive, you know, the fan development area, the psychologists, that we're all in this, we're all in it together. And I think it's a nice, I don't know, it just in some ways brings the club together.
Something that Hess and I are trying to really reiterate, and we've probably done that for this whole interview, is just, how important the people around players are. And that's probably, I guess, where we come from too, is that we're part of that team around those players, even though they're the ones with sort of the biggest voices and the biggest, exposure. It's got to be everyone or it's nothing.
So it sounds like the AFL and the clubs maybe have learned a little bit from the Hubs last year when you're talking about the services that they're going to be providing for partners, recognising that partners do have kids and careers of their own, which are very important, and that sounds really positive. Do you know how long you'll be in this situation for? How much stability or certainty do you have around your situation?
Yeah, I mean, I think at any time, if it becomes too much, like especially for the kids, like if school goes back in Sydney or the kids just, like I'll just go home, I'll just pack up and go home. I feel like, their well-being probably has to come first. But I think for Sydney, we'll just be here as long as the Swans stay in the competition into the finals. So I think they'll probably make, well, at least the first week. So I think that will be another month. I'm thinking we'll be like this, but I do hope, I don't know which one of you said it in the article, and I thought I think it was you, Maddie, that, you know, let's learn from this year again, so we don't go into next year. I don't know.
Exactly. Last year, we didn't think we'd be in this situation this year. And also, I guess, acknowledging that the AFL staff are busting their asses to get this done as well. So, they're working on the fly as well. I don't know who has to book all of these flights and these hotels and accommodation, because all of a sudden, all of you guys have gone up to Queensland and now you're down here, and that all happened in the blink of an eye and you're in lockdown again. So obviously for all of the AFL staff and in those logistical roles as well, are doing a really, really good job too. So, but we can learn and we can make their lives easier as well.
I do hope the conversation, it has also highlighted how many more women we need in those decision-making roles at the top, because when I do sit on those Zoom calls that Gil or, you know, Travis Old, whoever fills us in about everything that's happening, it's 80% guys. So I just think some women in there would really help.
Felicity, thank you so much, not only for taking the time out to talk to us today, but also for pushing for more representation of women's voices throughout the AFL and with this hub organisation. We really appreciate what you're doing, and it seems like it's worked and made a difference. So well done to you, and we hope your hotel hub life is all right and treats you well.
Oh, thank you. Well, and thank you to you both, because you also jumped in the arena with me, and I couldn't have done it alone. Like, you just want to rally, don't you? Rally the troops. And so thank you both for also you know, allowing us all to have voices, muchly appreciated.